It's a Daily Talk Show. I'm Josh Jansen.
I'm Tommy Jacket.
It's episode 85, TJ.
You're excited because you got chocolate in your hand?
Well, to give people context, this is coming out Monday, but we're pre-recording, something we don't do that often.
It's more of a safety precaution because, I mean, I'm not even going bush. I'm going desert.
Yeah.
I'm flying from Melbourne to Brisbane, which is like 2 hours itself.
Brisbane is not desert, mate.
No, but I got to get on a little plane and fly like 2.5 hours, 1,500 kilometres, I think it is, to a place called Longreach, which is...
It's big fucking Longreach, isn't it? 1,500...
it's a fucking long way away. And supposedly it's where Qantas was founded.
Yeah, interesting, because this is what the... So you're filming a project for a guy who happens to have a massive farm.
Yeah.
What does he actually farm?
His family have been farming... Mate, sorry, I forgot to mention, I have to drive 2 hours once I get into Longreach.
Fuck.
To this ranch.
Surely the plane can just, like, drop you off, you think, at that point.
So
you're doing a video project through your business, Frisbee & Co.
Mate, I love this. I love connecting with people and making movies and hearing stories. I found out about this 2 days ago from today, and flights got booked, and I'm flying out Monday.
What is the... Is there any specific rush, or are you just like, let's just act on it?
Well... I kind of just gave them some dates. I pushed for like a bit further, with, you know, like a following week after.
Mm-hmm. Like,
but I was like, I'm actually free from Monday.
Yeah, great.
And I've got to shoot back in Melbourne on Friday. So, fuck it. Let's do it.
You're going to be exhausted, but it's going to be amazing.
It's, yeah. And so anyway, we tested out today. I gave him a call. Rupert, his name is.
From the farmer.
Well, he's not even a farmer.
He's just like, he's from a farming family.
A farming family lives in Sydney.
He lives on a farm. Oh, he doesn't even fucking live there.
No. So the story that we're telling is about where he grew up.
And
from what I know about it, he, for 12 years of his life, did primary school over radio.
Yeah, that's sick.
How cool is that?
Do they still do that? Do we know? You're
going
to find out.
Probably not. Well, maybe with the lack of internet that we had when I tested with Rupert today. Yeah. So I tested Skype with him and it was a fucking struggle. He said they've got NBN satellite.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably goes to a town where it can get to and then they satellite the internet in.
So what was the, could you even connect at all with Skype?
We connected, but it was very weak. So point being, we're going to try and do the Daily Talk Show live from Muttatumbura, I think it's called, I probably butchered that, which is the town where he's
near. Longreach is where you go first?
Longreach is where the airport is.
Okay, yeah.
A two-hour drive is Muttatumbura, I think. I'll get it right by the time I get back.
This is such a fun project.
Man, it's so good.
This is why I do what I do, which is like...
We're the same person, mate. Just talk for me, all right? You fucking...
Well, we travel... we want to be able to travel, tell stories, meet interesting people, have an excuse to ask questions.
Yeah.
Be like, oh, mate, yeah, we need a shot of you on the tractor just to fucking get them on the tractor. You know,
100%.
That sort of shit.
I'm going to be like, I need to get up in that light plane or that helicopter.
Sick.
Fuck, we need to go, you know. He was telling me, I spoke to him on the phone and he's like, dude, I'm up on the water silo because there's better 4G up here. So I just love that picture. Like that's such a, you know, I'm picturing like just
cool
red,
cool silhouette,
red sun going down the blue sky, just getting electrified by the low light.
Have you got enough hard drives and stuff? What are you doing?
I'm only going to take, maybe I should take two.
You can borrow one of mine if you want, because I'd say if I can have at least back up every single, like, I feel this is the type of project where just go above and beyond in regards to backing up.
Yeah. Data.
I've got heaps of, like those, when I transitioned to the big RAID drive, I have so many of those smaller hard drives, which I'm not using. So maybe you could use them. But you were just talking.
Oh, there's one thing. Sorry. Yeah. There's one feeling around this travel stuff. Like, and I kind of, because it's all kind of really happened fast, booking these flights and getting out of here. I can't just be a selfish fucking single dude anymore.
Oh, yeah.
And I had this fucking overwhelming feeling of guilt.
Mm.
I think it felt like guilt. And it was about leaving Amy with Bodhi.
Mm-hmm.
to have to take him to daycare every morning, get herself to work, and then get him...
Because you guys, like, obviously rely on each other heavily to get all those things done.
Got to, dude. Team effort.
So you wake up... What is a typical day for you?
Yeah. I wake up and Bodhi's crying.
It's like 6 a.m. probably.
Yeah. So it depends 6:30. He's funny. Sometimes he sleeps and then wakes up really happy. But usually if he hasn't had enough sleep, he's just a bit sooky.
Mm.
And then he wants us to go in and get him. And so I go and grab him and get him ready. And I take Amy and Bodhi to daycare. Actually, I take Amy to daycare.
Well, you're both in the car. And so what time is he got to be at daycare? Is it work?
He can be there from 7.
Okay.
And so we get him there maybe 7:30.
6:55, we arrive, we wait out.
We have got there early once. I felt like an arsehole.
So 7:30 is normally the jam. How many kids in total are there throughout the whole day?
I think down in his area, because he's up until 1.5, I think it is, there's like probably 10 or 11 kids, I think. Uh-huh.
Per square meter, sort of.
No, that's a deal, dude. You can only have a certain amount of kids per square meter.
Yeah.
It's a daycare thing.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I know that because I worked, I made a video for a daycare center.
Ah, that's right. And so, make sure we get the square meterage right.
Drop him off, take Amy to work, I go into work.
Amy's got to start work at what time?
She starts at 8:30.
Uh-huh.
I start whenever I want.
You'll probably drop her off sometimes 8 o'clock.
Mm.
Sometimes 7:45, yeah. Maybe 8:25.
Nah, never late. She gets in early.
Okay,
they're getting her money's worth with her.
Yeah.
Does
she stuff her? Has she? Well, not stuff around, but has she got a bit of a routine where she'll make herself some toast or do all that sort of thing?
They've got a coffee machine at her business, like a legit Italian style fucking 4 things that you can, you know. Oh, crazy. They make about 100, they go through 10 kilos of coffee a week. Like, this is like a cafe. Fuck. There's 100 employees.
And they make it, I feel like getting 100 employees all looking after a coffee machine would be a clusterfuck. It'd be breaking down all the time.
Well, it broke down the other day and she said everyone freaked.
Yeah.
And because everyone's saving. So, you know, some people are having 3-4 coffees a day. They're cafe coffees. So that's a $4 coffee. You know, so you're having $12.
Yeah, worth of coffee.
$16 worth of coffee a day.
And so their espresso, like, what do they do? They just like long blacks. They could do lattes if they wanted.
I can do
all the frothing. Have you been in there? Have you spent?
Yeah. So we go up because I drop Bodhi off early and we go upstairs and she makes me coffee sometimes.
Cheeky bugger getting full. It's like when Bree used to work at Suzanne Group and she would get the bananas and on a Friday she'd look at the fruit and like, well, this is going to go to waste, so I might just take a few bananas home.
Amy does the fruit order.
Yeah.
And there's fuckloads of fruit in those businesses. Yeah, I remember wastage in businesses.
Yeah.
It's, mate, give that shit away. So, yeah, I drop them off and then I head into work. And then I pick Amy up at 5. I pick Amy up at 5:30, pick up Bodhi and we go home.
What happens if you got... So, the other day when we were doing filming for the... covering the federal budget, you had to be at my place at 5.
Mm.
What do you do? What did you do in that case?
Amy has to pick up Bodhi and take him on the tram and go home.
So, she walks...
Walks to the tram stop, walks to Bodhi's daycare, which is 500 metres from her work, gets Bodhi and goes onto the tram and then goes, you know, gets to Luna Park in St Kilda and then walks home.
Oh, that'd be fun though.
But if it's fucked up weather at the moment. Yeah.
So does she have to take a pram? That's the annoying bit.
Sometimes a pram, a little, the thing you wore.
Yeah,
you wore Bodhi on the front of you.
What was that video called?
Bodhi's
my son away.
My son's new father for a day. My son's new dad for a day on my YouTube channel.
Yeah.
But I felt this guilt of, you know, having to put this on Amy because it's the first time I've gone away for more than 2 days or one night, you know, 2 days, one night.
So you accepted the job and then said, okay, fuck, now I've got to have the conversation.
I think you go through, I've got to filter. Is this and I said to you at the start of this year, my word priorities. What is it?
One word of the year, which is Dr. Jason Fox, who's a friend of mine. We're going to have him on the podcast very soon.
Looking forward to that.
Organizational psychologist, real fucking interesting dude. He talks about having a word which is sort of encompasses your year and your focus. What was your word?
I broke the rules, 2 words.
Okay.
Family first.
Okay, well, that's also like a very conservative political party. So let's just say family.
Okay, family. But
family first, I think.
That, I wanted the first in there because I want it to be the first consideration when making a decision.
Uh-huh.
And that is my family.
And the Daily Talk Show has become family as well.
Okay, yeah.
Just extend the family.
Yeah.
They're like family. People at the pub, mate, they're like fucking family.
Well, they are. I mean, yeah, and so this is... So I thought about that and I thought, it's a financially good decision for me to do it.
Yeah.
There is a sacrifice of not being there. Yeah.
And psychologically, I think it's good for you too as well.
Yeah.
It's like stretching you creatively because I think when you put your family first, sometimes that means putting your ambition first for a short period of time to be able to help the family financially, but also just to like move forward and doing stuff.
Yeah. I grappled with the concept for a moment of this sort of guilt and then, you know, rationalizing it with, you know, the family first thing and it being a good decision. But then I was thinking about, like, people who, you know, without judging them, are away on business a lot and have young families.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, you know, is this feeling getting in the way of potential success? Like, I can't let it get the better of me, but I just look at, like, if you get on a flight from Melbourne at 6 a.m. on a weekday, and you look at the people, you know, half of them coming back at 6 p.m. That night, it's a very, like, business-driven, career-driven person.
Yeah.
And some of them probably have families. And that's a decision that they're making, whether they've consciously made the decision to, you know, not be with their family or they've thought about it as much as I have. Maybe they don't.
Yeah.
But I think about it's important for me to be a good dad, and that's one of those elements.
Well, I mean, and I think that, you know, people see fatherhood in different ways and what being a good dad means. Some people, because of their upbringing, thinks that being a good dad is being at work all the time and working hard and providing for the family.
Mm.
I think that that's probably archaic and something that's shifting because, you know, there's emotional sustenance and being there for your kids and also this shift in the idea that, you know, that the mum should be doing all of this work and all that sort of thing. Well, I mean, was that... You know, what's your view? I feel like you always surprise me with your views because sometimes you can be quite liberal and open and sort of, you know, but then you can also have your little conservative, you know, streaks here and there. What is the take on, you know, providing for family and things like that?
Yeah. I mean, I've been kind of going through some feelings of, you know, not being able to provide. Like, that's a fucking feeling. Like, that's an overwhelming feeling. Mm-hmm. If you were like, fuck, we're low on money.
Yeah.
And like, I've been putting in sacrifices.
Yeah.
And, you know, taking a hit financially because I'm trying this bigger thing. But it is so fucking demoralizing feeling like you can't support.
Westpac don't consider how many podcast episodes you've done when it comes to the bank balance, unfortunately.
I know, but you know, you and I are both playing in this space where it's like the payoff is big.
Yeah.
But we don't quite know the payoff just yet or how we're going to get it.
And it's even, I think, like relatively speaking, you know, like it's not big. It's not the huge, we're not going to be billionaires. We're not even be millionaires. But I think that the payoff is big in regards to fulfillment, happiness, and development, and then hopefully that also, so, you know, I think that we can, there's a financial viability to eventually get to, which 100%. I think we'll be able to do.
And so, you know, I want to avoid that feeling of not being able to provide.
So, but do you think that potentially going into being a parent, what was your view on your role versus Amy's role?
Yeah, well, If you were to say, is one more career-driven than the other, whatever that means, whatever you think it means, I probably am more career-driven, a clear picture of, not even that clear, but I'm just, I found my thing. Maybe Amy's not so much, like she's got some things that she's heading towards and she's becoming more clear about this stuff.
Yeah.
And maybe it's like, well, you know, I felt like, and it's probably the wrong thing to do, slip into like, well, I'm providing here.
Yeah, because I guess you sort of slipping into roles can be easy because it's saying, okay, well, just like a workplace, it's not like, you know, there's a nice feeling of, okay, we all are sort of leading this, we're all a part of it, we're all helping making decisions. But, you know, I guess there is also the benefit of having roles and saying, okay, you're looking after this, this, this and this.
And man, it's, I can see the danger of having it too far one way.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's relationships out there where the guy wants to be the main provider.
Uh-huh.
And not that he's saying don't fucking work, but you can see the power in, and I see the danger in me going, well, I'm the provider here, Amy, you're not fucking pulling your weight.
Yeah.
Because that's an easy out, right? That's an easy fucking grab at power.
Mm.
She's working. She's fucking earning close to what I am.
Yeah.
Close to what I'm paying myself from my own business.
Yeah.
And so she's totally, you know, and we're switching our relationship into this real team because we have to. And
it's that partnership thing that we spoke about, really. And it's a, I think that maybe that is the decision that maybe sometimes is overlooked. Like if you are sort of thinking about these things in a bigger picture sense, like I even think about if Bree and I have kids, we're not planning on having kids. And one of the reasons is because it's like we're both have being fulfilled right now within our roles and within our work and all that sort of thing.
Mm.
If that was something that Bree was like, this is something that I'm really keen on and, you know, this is where I'm going to find fulfillment, then naturally maybe that comes from the... I think it's hard maybe with... what do you call it? Like just how it all works. Like the mum is giving birth, right?
Yeah.
She's the one that's going to be feeding the baby. So I wonder how that would go the other way around where you know, stay-at-home dads, it's becoming a much more sort of common thing, but there still is the fucking delivery of the thing. It's like there's still the 9 months beforehand. There's still all of that sort of stuff.
Yeah, it's full on. If I had the money, and I know it's such an easy thing to say, oh, if we had the money, I would spend a lot of time with Bodhi.
Yeah.
And I would incorporate what I like to do and make videos and films and incorporate that into our existence. Like, I don't think I would push as hard on generating business as I would on focusing on being, you know, with my best friends. It's like, you know, traveling and incorporating all these things. And I know that's blue sky thinking of if we walked into money, I'd leave and go traveling for a year.
I think it's worth asking those questions still.
Yeah.
And then seeing how you can sort of put it into existence. Like even the thought of us working together, it'd be great to like the vision that I even have with what that would potentially look like is the idea that we're both
joint custody of Bodhi.
Yeah, exactly. I look after Bodhi most. I'm the stay at home. No, but I think that it's almost like I like the idea of building an environment that would enable you to be able to do that as well. Mm. So it's not like a partnership where it's like fucking grinding all the time, but actually having two people within a business so that then it takes off some of that pressure. Yeah, it's interesting. I think it's so complex, the whole kid thing.
But I just hope that the people that are working and, you know, from the outset, not spending much time with their family, I just hope that they've got their priorities right as far as knowing that their priority is work and that's actually the thing that's fulfilling the most and it not being the family.
It's also it's a two-pronged thing. If you bring someone in to the world, you're no longer thinking about your fulfillment. It's, I think, your responsibility to think of the fulfillment of your children as well, right? 100%. And your family as a whole. So it's like you need to think about Amy's fulfillment, Bodhi's fulfillment. Amy needs to think about your... Like it's this real fine balance.
Any relationship is like considering someone else.
yeah.
is huge. It's a huge thing to think outside of yourself because it's so simple.
Yeah.
And it's fucking common. And what is it? Like it's nature to look, think about yourself first because you're in your own head. Well, it's your own world. It's very, very easy.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that that's, yeah, and definitely being in a long-term relationship, like Bree and I, like we have built that. It's always a joint decision of, okay, what are we both wanting? And then, you know, coming to a compromise that makes sense. And what are we aligned with? What are we... And I think the awesome thing is, I think we're both better people because of it, because we're able to understand, like, I think that everything becomes up for question, which I think is a powerful thing. So when you're making these choices, you have to be thoughtful.
Yeah.
You have to be mindful. I think like that mindfulness. So you're clearly being mindful, saying yes to this job, doing all the, you know, working it all out in your head. Mm. What was Amy's vibe on it when you told her?
Awesome.
Yeah.
And I think it's come from a place of, I think she knows that I'm thinking that stuff.
Yeah. Well, you're being the filter, so she doesn't have to.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's all good. I'm going to have a great time. Yeah. And it's going to be, you know.
Do you think what's the hardest part of it, do you think, for you?
Oh, I don't see anything just hard. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's my element. Immersive, curiosity, you know, storytelling.
What about from a family point of view?
Yeah, I'm going to fucking miss the little man and Amy.
Uh-huh.
And I haven't experienced that yet.
Might be a good break too. People talk about that, like just having that reset. You might come back with a bunch of energy and then be able to take over a little bit more than you normally would to give Amy that.
Well, it gives you a sense of, what's the thing? You take things for granted.
Yeah.
Even like, say if I can't get reception, whatever. It's like, fuck, man, that's so foreign to me.
Yeah.
Amy and I constantly on text and me and Bodhi, you know, chat on the cell phone. No. But man, Bodhi's got an app. No,
he's got an app. He's developed an app.
The daycare has an app that posts photos of him.
Yeah.
And so you can just stay up to date with him.
Can I get onto it too?
I could get you onto it. You just need an email. I need to invite you. It's just a family member that you invite.
That'd be great. Is any of you, like your parents or anything?
No, I don't think we have. Man, I had an email. I don't even know. Amy just screenshots it all now and sends it to me.
You don't even get it. Well, I would love to be on it. That'd be great. Maybe I could pick him up one day next week.
Yes. Mate, you can help Amy out. All right. I want to eat this.
Yeah, so it sounded like we'd create an edit there. That's how abrupt you were, but no, this is the same show.
No, it was what I mentioned at the start. You've got chocolate. You've still got chocolate in your hand.
I've still got chocolate in my hand. So basically, obviously, our preferred chocolate of choice here on the Daily Talk Show is Hey Tiger, which you can get at heytiger.com.au. Amazing chocolate.
Unofficial sponsor.
Yeah, unofficial spot. Not artificial sponsor. Unofficial sponsor. And they, Hey Tiger is great because, for one, it's founded by a good friend of mine, Cyan Taid. Bree works there. And they, all the profit goes to supporting farmers in West Africa, basically, where I think something like 60% of the world's cacao comes from. So, anyway. Change of pace from Hey Tiger to your sort of classic Cadbury Dairy Milk.
Yeah, yeah.
I have
slave driven chocolate.
Exactly. No. The it actually has a little thing which says, is it cacao or cocoa? I always get confused when to say cacao and when to say cocoa.
Where are you, Bondi or fucking the burbs?
So there is a difference. There's a difference. But anyway, they've brought out heaps of different flavors lately in the family blocks. So they've taken what would normally be the smaller chocolate, you know, that you would just get in a bar form.
Oh, yeah.
And they've turned it into a full family block. You would have seen they did crunchy years ago and they've come back with that. Anyway.
You're really into your chocolate. Yeah,
the one that, well, to be clear, the chocolate that I normally eat is sort of your 85%
dark. That's true.
Chocolate.
But when we walked into the shops before.
When I saw, well, because I was looking out for this. So this is dairy milk. So this is 180 grams family block. Dairy milk packed with Moro Yum. Dairy milk chocolate with choc malt flavored cream. And smooth flowing caramel. So anyway, Morrow. I think it's from New Zealand, maybe. I think that's a New Zealand thing.
Well, what's the equivalent? Like, what's something?
It's like a Mars bar.
Yeah, it's basically
like a Mars bar. But it's in the favorites, Cadbury favorites, right? The little ones. But I got this and I am eating it on the... But we're going to eat it in a couple of minutes. But the reason that I got it and thought that it was enough interest in eating it on the podcast was because as a kid... I actually...
You shoved a Morrow up your ass.
No, I didn't. I didn't. That is a reference that most people won't get.
But if you listen back to early episodes...
You'll love it. So the...
much intrigue with no information.
I know. But the... No, so Morrow, you could only ever get in favourites, the small Morrow.
Yeah.
And when I was 11 years old, I think 10 or 11, I actually... I found out that you could get full-size, king-size Morrow bars from New Zealand. And my dad's friend was going to New Zealand.
Perfect.
And he bought back an esky full of king-size Morrows. It was to the point where I had my huge like undie drawer at home, took all the undies out, and that became my Morrow bar drawer. And I lined them with king-size Morrows.
Fuck. Who were you? Young Pablo Escobar? Yeah, I just... Lacing it like...
It was just like... And they had so much weight to them. I would have one a day. And anyway, so this is very exciting. I saw this Morrow chocolate, family block of chocolate, and they...
And you turned into that kid that fucking lines these drawers exactly. with it.
No, but I...
Because you squealed.
When I... Because the thing is, I saw it maybe a couple of weeks ago... And I didn't get it.
Why?
Because I was trying... I'm like, I don't really eat this sort of chocolate anymore. I haven't had it in a really long time. But anyway...
I tell you what, there's no excuse like having one...
Bit of nostalgia.
That you've got a podcast and we need to try some fucking chocolate.
Yeah, well, so I was like, I'm trying to do two things at once, guys. I'm trying to open it.
Interesting thing, yeah, like your dad's mate getting a fucking whole esky full. There's no chance I would bring back... a bunch of garbage for my son's for my mate's son. I was like maybe one.
Actually, it doesn't smell very good. I was gonna smell it. Smell it. Tell me what you think it smells like. We'll say it on the count of three. Ready? One, two, three.
Aftershave.
Dog treats. You said aftershave. I said dog treats.
Yeah, I know the dog treat. I know exactly what you mean. It's almost a bit Powell-esque. I think you know the favourites. I always say when there's favourites going around...
What's your favourite?
No, it's not even that. It's what kind of a person are you? And you can see by the chocolate you get out of those favourites. And I think if you're a Morrow guy,
yeah,
you're a bit fucking weird.
I fucking love Morrow. Here we go. So we're both trying it?
It's good.
Yeah, it's...
It's just full fatties... chocolate.
Yeah.
And I love
it's
it.
It's so sugary.
You can almost taste the sugar in the... what is this, like caramel in there?
Contains milk chocolate, 49%. Choc malt flavoured cream.
You sound like a heroin addict.
Caramel, 17%. Ingredients. Oh. So here, I'll read you the top 10 ingredients.
Oh, no.
Full cream, this is the worst. Full cream milk, sugar... milk solids, vegetable fat, cacao mass, cacao butter, glucose syrup, sweetened condensed milk.
Oh, my God.
Golden syrup, invert sugar, emulsifiers, salt, acidity regulator, flavors, milk chocolate contains cacao solids, 27%.
Jesus. Mm. It is so sugary. Every one of those ingredients... listed, excluding sugar. Those ingredients contain sugar within that ingredient.
Oh, they're all just 10 ways to say sugar. Isn't it?
That's the episode name.
Yeah, it's got a good ring to it, doesn't
10
it?
10 ways to say sugar.
It's a daily talk show, everyone. And because this is pre-recorded, we won't have emails, but please send them to us, hi@thedailytalkshow.com. And you know what? One thing that you can do that will really help is in iTunes or in iOS, if you've got an iPhone, if you go onto the podcast app, the official podcast app, if you listen on there, or even if you don't, you can go to the Daily Talk Show and you can leave a review. And those reviews help us get seen by other people who might
help
listen.
Push it up.
Exactly. It's a daily talk show, everyone. I hope you have a great Monday. And if you've tried the Morrow, why don't you tell us what you think? Maybe we're trying to do more Instagram shit as well. Mm. We're slowly getting there. And we might have another sponsor on the way if you've been following that too. Have a good one.
See you guys.